Psalm 56. Is that one of yours, Sam? Good stuff there. Psalm 56. Amen? Amen. Psalm 56. Psalm 56. I want to just read one verse of Scripture. See if I can share a thought this morning. This verse has been on my mind all week, over and over again, quoting it in my head. You know, if you'll read the Bible, this little thing inside of us, He has a way of bringing it back to your remembrance. And I think He does it sometimes because man shall not live by bread alone. I read somewhere, bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God shall man live by. And you never know the circumstances you may get in, and He'll give you a little something. I think it was Acts that said He'll put the very words in our mouth when we stand before people. So one verse of Scripture, see what we can get out of it. Psalm 56 and verse 3. We there? What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. Father, we'd ask You to help us this morning. Thank You for what You've done already. I'm looking for You. As I always do, and You're always somewhere in the shadows. I appreciate it. Thank You that if we look hard enough, we can see You. Sometimes the way grows so clouded that we can't see Your handiwork. You demonstrate Yourself to us on a daily basis. We just don't always look for Your demonstration. So we'd ask You to help us open up our hearts and our minds. And Holy Spirit, we ask You to teach us a truth from this passage of Scripture that You inspired the psalmist to write in a very difficult time of his life, so that we could read it hundreds of years later and the Holy Spirit could minister to our hearts. I trust that You'll do what You want to do. Lord, if there's somebody in here that needs You, doesn't know You as Savior, as always, Lord, I plead that You draw them to Yourself. Thank You for the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God, the assembly of believers, and Lord, the eternal Word of God. Thank You that we have it complete, intact, preserved, God-breathed. Help us, I plead this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'd like to start out with a question or some questions this morning, or at least this one. Have you ever been afraid? I mean really afraid. I'm not talking about setting yourself in front of a silly television set and watching a horror movie that Hollywood tries to manifest fear. I'm talking about being in a situation that is fearful, terrible. I guess you could say even frightening. You been there? I hope that's not a trigger. Hope it doesn't bring up bad memories. I've been in a few situations through the years that were, could I say, frightful, frightening even. Fearful. I'd love to say in each of those times I placed myself into the arms of a loving God. Sadly, I didn't. Then afterwards, you sit there and say, oh man, how foolish was I? Why couldn't I have? I've learned this, at least this long in the journey, if you just wait long enough, God will do what He needs to do. And he'll almost, it's embarrassing sometimes. Has anybody ever been there before? You get on the other side of it and you go, man, Why in the world? Why did I do that? Why did I act that way? Why did I react that way? The psalmist recorded for us his situation and circumstance in this psalm that we have before us. It all seems wonderful reading it on this side. You know, isn't that, you read that passage of Scripture and you go, oh man, that just warms my heart. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. I'm going to put that on a coffee mug so I can look at it in the morning, never really understanding what circumstance David was going through to write that. It's all good to us on this side. I don't know if it was for David. I'm sure if I read Scripture most days and I question myself what I would have done in similar situations, they did not have the indwelling presence of God as I do. He gets in a bad situation and he makes a statement like this: I look to the hills from whence cometh my help. We don't have to look to the hills. We have His abiding presence inside of us. That should be a very comforting truth to the New Testament believer. And also, we'll just add this in there with it: I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know, that just, okay, so let's bite down on our mouthpiece and let's ride this thing out and see how it goes. I mean, really, that's what the essence of it is. The psalmist recorded for us this situation and circumstance in the psalm that we have before us. The word afraid used here is found 334 times in the Old Testament. That's quite a few times. It is translated different ways at different times. It means, first off, morally to revere. So there is the fear of the Lord, if you will. That is a morally reverent fear towards God. Secondly, it means causatively to frighten, to be afraid, to be fearful. The one use for me, translated, is fine. Yeah, I can do that. I feel like I morally revere God in a time I want to fear the Lord. It's no different than a child fearing the consequences or just respecting a reverence for their parent. The second one, though, I could do without. I've never liked to be afraid. You ever met people that say, well, some people like to scare other people? You ever done that? Was it Alicia? Was it Sam or was it Alicia that walked up behind me that one time? And I had my traumatic brain injury. Was it Alicia? And I turn around, she's right there, and I'm like, so I just made it my habit afterwards to sneak up behind her as much as I could and just stand there behind her and see how, you know what I'm saying, John? Can you feel me? Jeez. This verse this past week, for some reason, the Lord placed it upon my heart. I woke up one morning and moment after moment, all through the day, I slept on it. I just meditated on that all week long. I read the psalm a couple of times. I kept saying it over and over in my mind. I said to myself, I don't know if something is coming. I don't know if I'm in the middle of something that I need it for, that I can't see yet, that hasn't visualized itself to me, or that the Lord just wanted me to meditate upon it for something possibly in the future. Either way, it has captivated my mind and my studies this week. As a pastor, I realize many people encounter fears or are afraid of something. I won't ask collectively if you are. They even had a television. I mean, they had a television show, Fear Factor. Who tortures themselves like that? Who says, hey, I've got an idea for a television show. Let's just put people in all kinds of situations for their phobias and see how it all turns out. You've seen those folks that are fear of drowning, and then they get in the water and they're drowning, and they teach these Coast Guard people and lifesaver people to literally knock them out so they don't fight them. Who wants to put somebody in their phobias and watch how they react to it? Hollywood does. Anyways, and so as a pastor, I realize many people encounter fears or are afraid of something. I've sat and listened to many through the years. I just wrote down a short list of mine and others I've heard or seen. Maybe you can agree with them. Maybe you can add to them. I just wrote down a few. Let me see if any of us fall into these categories. Faith. My faith sometimes, can I say this, makes me afraid. Either by what I'm asked to do. I mean, it wasn't, you know, I wasn't standing on G, sitting on O to go to Africa. I didn't know what that looked like. Didn't know what it was like. What was it like for Noah when God said, hey, I want you to make an ark out of gopher wood. It's going to rain. He didn't even understand the concept of rain. He saw mist come up from the ground. Faith sometimes makes us afraid, either by what I'm asked to do, what I'm doing, or what I've done. Here's a second one. Family. Family makes you afraid. Oh my. If you've been around long enough, family has a way of making you afraid of what has, is, or will happen. And if they don't, just read the Bible and you'll read the stories of those that were. I mean, Jacob. Remember when Jacob was getting ready to encounter his brother Esau? And he's got his whole, I mean, he's got everything with him. He's splitting them up. He said, now listen, I don't know what Jacob's or Esau's going to do. We're going to put a few of you over here, and we're going to put a few of you over here, because if he kills some of you, I at least have some of you left. They were brothers in the Scriptures. Family can make you afraid. Finances, anybody? If finances haven't caused fear at some time or another in your life, just hold on for a little while, they will. All you got to do is just hold on for a little while. Keep getting the Bobo drinks. Keep stopping every day and eating out and buying drinks and everything else. And sooner or later, when the bills come due, you'll be afraid. How am I going to take care of this? Here's another one. Faith, family, finances. Here's another one. Fatalities. I've been around a few. And around those, as it took place, I've been at the bedside of people that were dying. It's a time to think. It's a time to ponder. One fatality I was around as a police officer was what drove me to the cross. I had no answer when I would imagine, I would think it was God speaking to me. And we've done it at funerals, haven't we? When we're lost, if we're anybody in here, you go to a funeral and wonder where I'll be spending eternity. Fatalities, if you don't know what the future holds, a fatality can put an awful lot of stress on you and fear. What does tomorrow look like? Fights. I'm not necessarily talking about fist fights, just fights in general between people or family that you fear what can become of it. Ever watch, you ever get around a family sometimes? I grew up in a family that it was all good when we said we greeted one another. Then the cousins and the kids, we'd all sit around and say, just give it time. Just give it, just wait, just wait. It's fixing to happen. Uncle so-and-so is going to do something. Aunt so-and-so is going to do something. I'm not necessarily talking about fist fights, just fights in general between people or family that you fear what can become of it. Here's another one, friends. Maybe this one is a stretch because friends shouldn't cause fear. But I've seen it happen. Here's the last one I wrote down, and I'm sure several more could be given of every alphabet letter. I just use F's. Failure. Surely everyone has encountered this one. And if you haven't, you ain't trying very hard. If you've never encountered failure, then you're not trying very hard. I fear failure often. I don't want to be a failure as a father. I don't want to be a failure as a husband. I don't want to be a failure as just a person in the community that I live in. I don't want to be a failure as a pastor. I want to meet God one day and He say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And yet, whatever the fear may be in your life, Scripture gives us an answer. For, can I use the word conquering it? Or should I say maybe combating it? And those words come from someone that had many firsthand experience with it, David. I want to take it from someone, that is the advice. If I'm going to take advice from someone, I want to take it from someone that has conquered it, navigated it. David had done it several times. I'm sure people listened to him a little bit more after Goliath. They were looking at him and say, he comes in and says, why? 40 days they had sat in that valley waiting to do something with the Philistine giant Goliath. And David comes in and said, isn't there not a cause? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he'd go against the army of God? And then he steps forward and all of them are shaking in their boots. Here's David, a little ruddy fella. Not even old enough to come to the battle. He just brings bread and cheese. And then they mock him, and he says, you know, God's helped me with the lion. You know, we read these stories in the Bible, and we're sitting there thinking, like, it's nothing. And God helped me with them. You ever been, I'm not talking about Akron Zoo. Some of y'all sit there and go, wow, I went to the zoo. I'm talking about on the plains of Africa. Okay, we were there, right there. Close enough to the dashboard shakes when lions growl. Is that right? The dashboard shaking. And Mr. Idiot gets out. Yeah. To get a kudu skull. Just cheetah chasing me down. I got in that truck that close before the door shut. My hand before God, that's the way. Josh is in there. Do you remember when Josh was in the back seat and that lion was outside the truck? And I had the windows cracked. Josh, Daddy, shut the windows. I mean, that's the kind of dad. You talk about holding a flashlight? Oh, no, no, no. I didn't make my kids hold a flashlight. I made them be around lions with the windows down. Super dad. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, mercy. There you go. Douglas, you want to be the husband like I am, the father like I am. You want to, hey, I'm going to a church now. That's the guy I want to be right there for my kids. Talk about emotional damage right there, man. If I'm going to take advice from someone, though, it's David. He fought a lion and conquered it. He fought a bear and conquered it. You ever seen a bear? I mean, a grizzly bear, a black, I mean, those things. And then when he gets to the Philistine giant, there are positives to fear. And so if I'm going to take advice from somebody, I'm going to take it from David. With that being said, looking at that one phrase, within the context of this psalm, I want to preach on this thought this morning. Fear's formula. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. David gives us what I want to call a formula for overcoming fear. If you read this psalm and you read several of the other psalms, David sometimes seems like he's right. He's a magnet to it. He's a magnet to it. I mean, there's times when they're asking for his life. King Saul has thrown a spear at him. They've shot arrows at him. His family's taken. I remember when they were all in Ziklag, and I mean, everything was just falling apart. Even the men around him were sitting there upset because they lost their wives. And David encouraged himself in the Lord. David had a walk with God. Can I just say this? It's not written in the notes. If you just have a walk with God, if I just have a walk with God, you know, it'd be amazing how much stuff we would be able to navigate. So David gives us what I want to call a formula for overcoming fear. First, David gives us fear's possibility. Fear's possibility. He said, what time? What time? David tells us regarding fear, what time? It gives, as far as it does to me, it gives and leaves the indication that fear and being afraid can happen and even will happen. It's a possibility. I mean, we don't always look for it. We shouldn't be trying to find it in every woodpile. I remember when Christina was born. That was a very fearful moment. Still is. She's emotionally damaging to many people. Can't get an amen, Jacob. But it was a very difficult birth. And there was a lot of fear. And you've probably heard me say this before. Libby panicked. You know, Libby panicked. I mean, really, honestly, Libby panicking? And Libby panicked, and then they rushed her out of there. And they took her, and Libby said, is everything all right? And I guess I lied, and I said, no, everything looks good. I'm going to go follow them so we don't get somebody else's child. You know, because they don't always put the bands on them and all that kind of stuff. You know, I knew the one I was having was going to be a handful. I didn't want somebody else's handful. If you're going to have a handful, have the handful that you got. You know what I'm saying? Followed her down there. By that time, they had already told Libby that there was complications and everything else. And, you know, I said this. I looked at her. I had just been newly saved. I hadn't been saved that long, just a year. And I said, I told Libby, if I can't trust in God in this situation, I'll throw my Bible in the trash can and go get a six-pack of beer. Because what does the lost world do? What do they put their faith and trust in? Their flesh. I'll figure this out. I'll navigate this. When we give our life to Christ, Paul said this. He said, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his image. There is going to be, becoming a Christian doesn't mean it's going to be easy from there on out. There will be difficulties. We don't know that in America. You don't know the difficulty of some tribe or something coming into your mission camp and killing everybody because of their faith in Christ. And so we see fear's possibility. I'd love to be able to say to a young child, now this one thing you'll never have to worry about. You're never going to have to be afraid. No, being afraid of whatever is always a possibility. Now, we shouldn't panic, obviously, but the whole formula for it is there's a possibility. Sometimes you get saved and you just think everything's going to be all right. No, everything's not going to be all right. Everything's not. Many are the afflictions of the godly. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. You don't think some of those afflictions come with fear? And being afraid, God, what's this going to look like? How's this going to end? How's this whole thing going to unfold? Well, you're supposed to just trust in me. We see fear's possibility. Being afraid of whatever is always a possibility that everyone must realize. For even when you don't think that it will, then that is when it overtakes you. Let me ask you this question and we'll move on. Are you walking with the Lord close enough, all while understanding what all that entails, while realizing fear has a possibility? We don't know what tomorrow holds. Any one of us, I've said it before, I grew up in a home, my sister was killed. I sit there, I panic with my grandkids. I mean, yesterday one of them was over there. I'm telling you what, blood curdling. Lindsay, blood curdling. And then the two calm male and female figures in the home. I didn't get up yet because kids are kids. Both of them have this look on their eyes. Oh, my goodness. And I come in and Ella had put her finger in a folding table. Hey, you got nine others? Right. Yeah, I mean, what's one? You got nine more. And then I came in and played it all off, took my pocket knife off and said, I'll fix it. Didn't I pulled the pocket knife out? And I said, then she started laughing. And I knew she was okay. Douglas, are you learning? You getting these tips along the way? Super dad right here. Super grandpa right there. Yes. You want to go over to grandpa's house? No. Let me ask you this question. We'll move on. Are you walking with the Lord close enough, all while understanding what all that entails, while realizing fear will always have a possibility in your life? Never know what takes place. Never know when it's going to take place. You just got to prepare that it may take place. If not, you are and will be unprepared. Next, David shares with us concerning fear and being afraid. He said, what time? That's fear's possibility. Then he said, I am afraid. That's fear's presence. Fear's presence. David tells us about fear's possibility. He prepares for us for fear's presence. There's a possibility it's going to show up. But when it does, what time? I am afraid. When darkness veils his lovely face. I mean, there's going to be that time. I can't see him. The darkness of this difficulty, this problem, this thing that's come upon me, that's David's life is in jeopardy right here in this psalm, and he pens these words. We read it like it's some Saturday morning devotional with our coffee, and we say, oh, that was inspiring today. Let me share that to Facebook and get a few likes. David's in the middle of the battle with somebody seeking his life out to kill him. Fear's presence. Whether we want to admit it, accept it, or acknowledge it, each of us will face times in our lives that fear's presence shows up and becomes real. Sometimes so real it engulfs us, cripples us. When darkness veils, hides it. God, where are you? You get in the middle of this situation, you say, are you even there? Can I tell you, as a pastor, I've woke up some days, Douglas, and I've said to God, God, did you forget me? I don't feel, listen, the indwelling presence of God does not always create a feeling. It's not like, you know, you put something in the microwave and it warms from the inside out and all of a sudden you just sit there and say, you know, I don't care what the Pentecostals and all them say, there's no feeling to it. Now, the facts might create a feeling, an assurance, a confidence, a trust, but there's no feeling with the Holy Spirit of God indwelling within us. There's a confidence and a reliance upon the Word of God that He said, I will never leave you, and I can take His word for it. I'm going to tell you what, sometimes in the middle of it, it gets difficult. It engulfs us, it cripples us sometimes, even at times disables us. That's why we need other people around us. David had his mighty man. I remember, and I wish I hadn't, I hope I'm not triggering anybody when I say this, I remember, I wish I hadn't looked at the videos when ISIS captured, eliminated journalists, aid workers, and soldiers. What were they trying to do? They were trying to create fear. I wish I never would have looked at those videos. I wish I never would have watched that stuff that was taking place. It infuriated me. But that's what the enemy does, don't they? I can't imagine the fear that those people, those journalists, those soldiers, those videographers must have felt with a mask over their head and somebody standing behind them, getting ready to eliminate them. David states in verse 13 of this same passage, "For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" We see fear's possibility. What time we see fear's presence, I am afraid. I also read a story of three young children faced with the presence of fear. What were their words? Let me see if you ever read this before. The three fellas' names, hard to pronounce, but it says Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were getting ready to be tossed into a fire, answered the king, "Oh, Nebuchadnezzar." I can't even imagine this. "We are not careful to answer thee in this matter." I just want to, do you ever read the Bible and you just sit there and say, I want to see what that looked like. Can you see Noah with his analytical little, you know, King Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee. Can anybody see Noah doing that? I mean, sitting there, here's these three children. They're getting ready to be tossed into a fiery furnace. We read these stories in the Bible like they're nothing. They are actual accounts of people that come before us and how they handled it. And then pastor the modern day church and somebody stubs their toe or they're unable to make their app payment for that week on something and they're just freaking out, "Pastor, what am I going to do?" Here's three children standing before a fiery furnace. "We're not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace." You see that stuff just crackling in the background. Heat from the door of that thing or whatever it was just blowing into their face. "O king," he says, "if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not," hey, if it just doesn't work out that way, "but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Let me ask you this. We'll move on to the third one. Are you kidding me? Man, what happened? Did somebody mess up the clock back there? Fear's possibility. What time? David said, it's going to happen. Fear's presence, when it does happen, could that be said of you and I in fear's presence? Could we, with the same confidence that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego make those kind of statements? It was of them, and how encouraging it is to us. Lastly, this, I can't believe I'm saying lastly at 11:27. Somebody else get up here and sing a song. Come on, let's just do something. Huh? What's Matt going to do? He's in trouble. He's knee-deep in trouble this morning, isn't he? Let's just... Watch this. I'm going to give you my last point. we're going to give a real small, don't play the piano loud, real small invitation, and then let's just all sneak out of here. Miss Miller, don't text him. We'll just all sneak out of here, and then he'll come upstairs and he'll think the rapture took place. And Yeah, leave your Bibles. Every couple of y'all, you leave your jackets. Just leave your jackets on the pew, all right? I know most of y'all are going to leave your little blankets on there anyways. All right, third point. Could that be said of you and I in fear's presence? It was of them, and how encouraging it is. Lastly, from the psalmist, we see, he says this, I will trust in thee. What time I am afraid. When it happens, there's a possibility it's going to happen. I don't know when it is, but there's a possibility. When that happens, what time I am, I'm in it now. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Fear's prescription. Watch this now. I'm going to give you these three. He gives a prescription of what to do when you get afraid. I don't know. I don't know if the Lord was trying to prepare me for something. I don't know if he's trying to prepare you for something. A lot of times he'll prepare you through me. I've got to get it. God says, hey, listen, somebody in there needs it, but while I'm giving it to them, I'm going to give it to you as well. Fear's prescription. What a statement in the midst of the chapter detailing out everything going on around him. David leaves us a profound, can I say, exhortation? Example? What an example. You know why it's important to read the Bible? Do you know there are kids all over Akron, you know what they want to be one day? LeBron James. Could you just imagine this, my biggest, no pun intended, fear? I have 11 grandchildren, a 12th on the way. My biggest fear is what life looks like for them here. And you know the best way they're going to be able to navigate that? Going back to the Wednesday night mentoring, is watching you, watching how you handle. I've said it before. Listen, if you've been saved for any length of time, when a situation takes place, we don't need to see Captain and Mrs. Chaos. We need to see calm. Those, I guarantee you the Babylonians were more nervous than Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They were jittering. They were trying to figure this thing out. There's no way that the Romans were dulled with every execution. Can you imagine what it must have been like to live in Roman times? In the Colosseum, and you professed your baptism in Jesus' day and age was not this little fluffy little thing, I'm going to invite all my family and watch me get baptized. This was putting a mark on somebody for a future. And if we're going to get them to bow, we're going to get dad. There are documented cases of men's stomachs being cut open, their intestines being pulled out. That can happen while you're still alive. Dragged into the Colosseum with lions all around them and say, if you can pick all those up, you're free to go. And then they turn the lions loose just to get them to recant on their devotion to Christ. Was it Polycarp that was burned at the stake? And then we get into our little situations in our day-to-day deportment, and you'd think the whole world came crushing down on us. And it does not look good. Why is mental health out of the banks? Because what are you going to rely upon? If you don't have verses that you can trust in. I mean, the devil, the tempter comes to Jesus in the wilderness. You don't see him chewing his fingernails? You don't see him all bent out of shape? He said, hey, it is written. Wednesday nights, we're looking at the Bible as a book for the believer for all matters of faith and practice. That I can take that living book, God breathed, and I can follow it, I can read it, I can listen to it, and it can transform my life. Be ye not conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. This world will do everything it can to say, you ain't got a chance. And we sit here, and these young people are watching us. These children should, we should walk with them in our hands saying, don't worry about it. Everything's going to be all right. Well, how do you know that? Because it's been all right this long and it's going to continue to be all right. Fear's prescription, let me give them to you real quick. First, we see his commitment. I will. David said, I might. What time I'm afraid? I might. I'm going to get one of them little yellow, the black things with the eight ball. What was that thing? Remember when you were little, you could shake that thing up? Magic eight ball? I might. It's a great possibility. It's a chance. I got a chance. No, he said, I will. His commitment. I am committed to the fact that what time I am afraid, I will. We see his commitment, fierce prescription. We see his confidence, trust. That word trust here used by the psalmist means to hide for refuge. Big brother, I got a big brother. He said, let me take care of this. And he just puts us behind him. He that dwelleth, the Bible said, the psalmist said in Psalm 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I raised chickens when I was younger. And those chickens, Jesus, when he came into Jerusalem, he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, I would that thou were as a hen that gathereth her chicks. That when the chicken, when there's a buzzard, whatever, flying over, that hen, all she's got to do is chirp. You know what those little chicks do? They run right under her wings. You know how many of us try and handle it on our own? Make a Facebook post about it. Call everybody we can call. Tell everybody we can tell. But just be with me. Prayer request. Pray for me with this situation. No, David said his commitment was, I will. His confidence, trust. It means to hide for a refuge. Then we see his companionship. I will trust in what? Thee. If you look, if you search, the Bible is full of exhortations for us to battle fear. Paul told a young preacher in a wicked town that wrote to him in tears. Young Timothy wrote to Paul with tears. I hope when I leave here that the relationship I've had with these men that we've worked with and trained, I hope they write me. I hope they call me. And I can hope when they get into these situations, I've shared so many of them with them. Hey, you just stand strong. You do this. You do that. Paul had learned that. He gave that list in Romans. He was shipwrecked, beat within an inch of his life. He gave all those kind of lists of things. You know what he was reiterating to Timothy? He was doing the same thing with Timothy that David did with the nation of Israel. He said, I got my bear. I got my lion. Who is this uncircumcised circumcised Philistine? He wrote this to Timothy, second letter. Now listen to this. Opening chapter. He says these words. Opening chapter. This is how he starts the letter out to Timothy after he's read what Timothy wrote to him. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The psalmist also wrote these words. You know them, don't you? Psalm 23 and verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now it's said when we studied that psalm out that that was a valley where, terrible illustration, but in our carnal minds we might be able to understand it. Who were them folks that had the big giant brown robes in Star Wars and they had the little eyes and they had the long rifles? The Tusken Raiders, and they were walking through, remember Luke and Obi-Wan were walking through the valley? Y'all with me? Nobody watched that? Good, don't. And they're walking through that valley and they're all scared. Man, they're scared. This is the same concept. They would go from town to town. This is what got John Mark so scared with Paul, because in between these trips to places, they would rob them, they would beat them, they would harm them. John Mark couldn't take that. Paul couldn't take the fact that he was soft. So Paul went his way and Barnabas took John Mark. Later on, John Mark toughened up a little bit. Probably went to man camp, got tackled a few times. Understood what it was like to get a black eye and a bloody nose. He comes back. Paul says, bring John Mark. He's profitable for the ministry. The psalmist records, David says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they what? Comfort me. I leave you with some of the most comforting words in Scripture from the prophet Isaiah. whom history tells us. Watch this now. What does history tell us of Isaiah? Hebrews alludes to it in the Hall of Faith, sawn asunder. History tells us that the prophet Isaiah, bold prophet, prophesied against Israel and their wickedness. They put him in a hollow log and sawn him asunder. Could you imagine that? The ISIS thing is hard enough for me. Can you imagine being put, and talk about dragging it out. Hey, could you know, at least I'm the kind of guy that said, yeah, could you speed this process up? It's a little hard on the heart right now. Put him in a hollow log and begin to, you're in the log. We read scripture sometimes and we don't understand what these people went through. Here, sawing him asunder till it gets to where his rib cage. I mean, when does he die? And all he's doing in the process of that. American Christianity has no idea what biblical characters went through. What time fears possibility. I am afraid fears presence. I will trust in thee, fears prescription. His commitment, I will. His confidence, trust. His companionship in thee. Isaiah said this, and I'll close. Chapter 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Now that wasn't the same with thee. You read that he's with us, and here's what you do. Give yourself a big hug. You know why? Because the very indwelling presence of God is with you. He can't leave you. He can't forsake you. He's there. Enjoy him. Grasp him. And I'm going to tell you what, that won't mean nothing to you till you get to a place where fear has absolutely veiled his lovely face. And you're looking around for him and saying, God, where are you? Then you'll come back to church and you won't be the problem. You'll be the help. Because you'll have gotten to a place of darkness and you'll know who got you out of that darkness. And you will become an assistant to so many other people to say, hey, he's a very present help in a time of need. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea. I will help thee, yea. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shall not find them. Even them that contended with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Fear will confront all of us at one time or another in life. Some of us, sadly, it'll confront many of us. What will you do when it comes? David gives to us this formula. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Can I invite you to the altar this morning? I don't know what situation you're going through. I don't know what one I'm going through. I really don't. I read scripture and I say, God, you gave that to me for a reason. You've had me meditate on that for a reason. In recent days, we did the study of the fruit of the Spirit. I know why. I know why. There was fruit in there that I needed to have in situations that transpire in my life. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith. Against such there is no law. Those things are there for us when we get into a situation. Just like this, the Holy Spirit, the disciples, they're panicked, man. They know what the consequences of following the Lord Jesus Christ are. They realize the atmosphere they're in Roman territory, and now all of a sudden Jesus just keeps pushing the envelope. But he's not pushing the envelope, he's laying a path. Takes him to the garden, he said, let not your heart be troubled. You know what that is? That's fear. Fear of the unknown, fear of failure. What are we going to do now? We've left all. We've left all. You know, there's some people get in church and they begin to leave all, and all of a sudden some are going to leave them, and they get fearful and they go right back to the world. He said, no, now your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And Thomas saith unto him, how can we know the way? He said, I am the way. He goes on further on down the road, and he says, I'll not leave you comfortless. It is expedient that I go away so that he can come. And we live in that dispensation now, and look at how many people are afraid. We need to hear the words of David. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Father, we'd ask you to help us today. I don't know if a fear, a frightful situation's coming. I don't know if someone's in a frightful situation today. Can only speak for myself. And Lord, I, with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the confidence of the Scriptures, and the testimony of a David, can say, if he can do it, then I can do it. Well, Lord, I'd ask you to be with me. Lord, I don't know if that's the prayer of somebody else in here, but I pray that you speak to our hearts today. We live in a very chaotic world, and I pray that the words of the psalmist David can speak to our hearts and help us, whatever the need may be this morning. Or maybe somebody is fearful of eternity, not knowing what it looks like, not having assurance of salvation. I pray, Lord, that you speak to that person's heart today. Whoever the person is, whatever the need is, I pray that you speak to our hearts. Help us in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. I invite you to the altar to just talk with God. God, I've got a situation I'm fearful of. I'm encountering. There one might be on the road. It might be finances. It might be family. It might be failure. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. But you can bring your need to the Lord and leave it there.